True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, J&J. I got to train my brain, bro. I got to train my brain. I'm no longer going to say the artist formerly known as J&J. Hey, catch me, man. Catch me. All right, things are changing around here, man. It's 2025. We walk alongside.
That's right.
You know, I used to, you know, Jason was a QB. I was Ashton Jeanty. You know, I was in the backfield, but now I'm standing. It's like we're in shotgun formation, and I'm right there now beside him. You know, that's kind of how we're framing it.
Yeah, you don't want to be Ashton anymore. You're right. First 2 weeks, unimpressive. Now, you thought he was going to get hurt.
I thought he would suck for a different reason. But
I'm glad I didn't draft him.
But I did say don't draft him. I did say.
You said that.
My excitement over Ashton Jeanty has gone, bro. Gone.
But this isn't about his lack of success. It isn't about him trying to run over people.
No, it's not.
Hurt, right?
But, I mean, it's about.
What about your offensive line?
We'll get into
okay,
it.
Okay. I'm sorry. Right. I was getting ahead
we'll
of myself.
We'll get into it.
You guys are a mess.
Let's do it. Let's do the rundown. All right. Doubleheader last night. Let's start with the Raiders because I think there's a little bit more to address in that one.
Hold on for you real quick. Did you see what I did? I said you're a mess.
Right, you did say that.
But my team's 0-2.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about
it.
No,
I'm saying is it that different than what Ryan did?
Well, I mean, if it's
I see what I did. See what I did. I called you a mess. We're the mess. We're on. So I can't punch up right now.
No,
I did.
But see, that's not punching up nearly as much as Silverfield did.
Of course not. You're not a Super Bowl contender, whatever else. But it's the same thing.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I'm on 0-2 street. I'm the mess.
I kind of just let it happen because you know we are a mess. we are a mess. And so anybody wants to say it, you want to say it. Brad's grandma wants to say it. I mean, I'll accept it because I think it's mostly true.
I got you.
But yes, last night, I was mad because I was exhausted, man. I wanted to go to bed, and it was just it was a snoozer of a game. Geno throws a pick on the first play of the game, you know, and it really just was all Chargers from there on out. I don't believe the Raiders scored a touchdown. Ashton Jeanty averaged like 3 yards a carry, and the weirdest thing about that was they had a 3rd-and-2 in the second quarter. I want to say. Maybe it was the third quarter. I don't remember. But they had a 3rd-and-2 from like the 42-yard line of their own. And they didn't even bring Jeanty in to run the play. They brought it. They handed the ball off to Zamir White, who got stuffed. And look, this is an organization that has been bad for the overwhelming majority of my adult life, 90 to 95% of my adult life. So it is not at all a shock. But why would you draft Ashton Jeanty at 6 if you ain't going to use him on 3rd-and-2, bro?
Agreed.
It's like, what did you – you shouldn't have done it. I mean, obviously, you know, we're seeing he may not be – now, and there, you know, we could talk about offensive lines of all these different things, but maybe he's not the generational talent that you're hoping for at six. I mean, Saquon didn't have any of that in his first two games. Like, you kind of knew. You're like, all right, this dude was.
It feels like it. We knew it from the get-go.
I think, you know, Saquon had like 170 yards his first two games. Like, it wasn't amazing, but, like, he scored touchdowns. Like, he, you know, made plays. And Ashton Jeanty really hasn't done that. I think his long right now is like 10 yards. Now, he's going to have an excuse for that, and his offensive line is not great, and it may not be, but that's the issue. Is when you draft a running back at six, you need that dude to be a generational talent and be able to overcome some short things, some shortcomings, and he ain't doing that. He ain't doing that at all. So I'm not excited. Plus, he's going to get hurt. Like, that's the other part. They're not even using him that much because they're worried about that. Only 11 carries last night. And there's a to me that the reason for that is they are worried that he will get hurt. Chargers just did what they had to do. Herbert, 19 of 27, two touchdowns, had the long touchdown to Quentin Johnston. We'll see, you know, just how much this Khalil Mack injury matters. But I think the Raiders, when it's all said and done, they could still wind up being, you know, a bottom five team, bottom six team in the NFL. I mean, Geno played terribly last night. They don't have any real weapons. Brock Bauer's already hurt. I mean, I think it could be ugly for them. I think they could be picking sixth again next year, which would not be the worst thing in the world, to be honest. But I think it could get that bad for these Raiders, Jason.
Chargers might be that good. Might be part of it.
True.
Because Geno was good against New England, right?
Yep. Good enough. Yeah, he had the 340 yards. He did have a pick, but yeah, good. Certainly much better than them.
There's a stat about his deep throws in that game. He's 4-5 for 120 yards, a touchdown, passer rating of 158.3 on deep passes. That was 20 plus air yards. Last night he was 0-for-11 on throws of 10 plus yards, the second most attempts without a completion since ESPN began tracking every NFL game since 2006. That's not him. That's old Geno, and so we haven't seen that guy since the Jets. So what I'm going to say is that, again, against lower-level teams, maybe teams that aren't as, you know, maybe Chargers are a real true contender, and you just got beat down by a good defense last night. You mentioned Khalil Mack helped with that early. There's no question about that. But Geno, this is an outlier game for him from what we've seen of the
right.
new Geno.
Right.
So I'm going to say that it can come back, and we'd seen it week one where he was good getting the ball down the field. O of 11, I mean, again, that's the second most attempts without a completion since they began tracking it. Like, you're not typically going to see that. He can be better. It would help if he had a run game, although he seemed determined to be overly aggressive from the get-go. The first play of the game was a pass and an interception.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little bit more balance. You probably need that for Geno Smith.
Yep.
But, y'all, I mean, you don't have to be in Bears incompetent here. The Raiders with Geno Smith, and I think we've seen evidence of that. You don't have to be, you know, that the entire season just off the week one win over New England, who looked better this week.
Yeah, they did. They did. That may, again, and that one may say a lot about Miami and how ready they are to quit.
Possible.
because
possible.
That was atrocious. But yeah, I mean, look, I wasn't expecting, you know, anything real this year anyway. I mean, it's kind of a weird time, you know, you're like, you have Geno, you have Pete Carroll, so you kind of have to win now, but like the rush is probably not good enough to do that. So it was always kind of just be a little less embarrassing than a year ago, and I think they'll ultimately achieve
still
that.
Still headed for that.
Yeah, but much beyond that, I don't think so. What happened to CJ Stroud?
I think that those offensive line issues last year planted a seed of doubt in him in terms of, you know, especially compared to the first year where everything went right for them. I mean, it felt like the kid could do no wrong. We said, my gosh, how could he be this good of a leader and be this poised this early? And when you have the problems he did in year two where, hey, you drop back and it ain't the same. You don't have the time that you had. That offensive line was bad last year. I just think in his mind maybe is where you should start. Because they've done a poor job of, we talked about this with Burrow in Cincinnati, they've done a poor job of making sure that he's protected. He showed you year one he's worth it and that you got to, you know, do everything in your power.
Yep.
In terms of investing to protect this guy and put together. Look what the Chargers have done for Herbert. Like, they went out and said, that's going to be our investment. And we'll make something out of Quentin Johnston.
Absolutely.
And so I do think, man, when you think you got that guy, and so that's part of it, I think. You know, the year one was such an unbelievable year. There was probably always going to be a little bit of regression, you know, going back to whatever he is.
Yep.
Because that one was, it was just an unbelievable season. At the time, we were saying, calling it, what, best rookie season? I guess before Jaden came along last year and do what he did, take him to the NFC Championship game. That said, I think he can be fine. I'm questioning D'Amico and what that organization right now is doing to make sure he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just, hey, you're on your own. You got to get this figured out and go be great. You know? So that's kind of where I'm at on CJ.
Yeah, it was hard. It's hard to watch, man. You know, there's no doubt that the offensive line has bled into his psyche, you know? Because he's, you know, that pick, that well, it wasn't a pick. It should have been a pick to David. I mean, I don't even know what he was saying. I can't even tell you.
There's also a book on him now.
No, there is a
that
book.
That wasn't there that first year.
Look, you're right. I mean, Jaden Daniels, we're watching. Now he's hurt, but he looked like crap against the Packers. I mean, he didn't look good at all.
That looks like an awfully good defense.
You know, you're trying to sort of separate certain
things. They
made
him look pedestrian. Yeah. Like, you're right about that.
These rookie quarterbacks, look, how about Bo Nix? I mean, Bo Nix comes in last year as a rookie, and he has a great year. Took him some time to get there, but he's got like 4 turnovers in 2 games now. I mean, these teams get film on these rookies, and they adjust. And, you know, the great ones still evolve and
they
adapt.
Evolve,
and
right.
You know.
Exactly.
But, you know, Bryce Young has had a tough year. C.J. Stroud is having a tough year. You know, Jaden Daniels, we'll see. I mean, it just feels like all these young guys, man. Like who's been the young quarterback who's adapted in the last? I mean, Trevor still is like doing stupid stuff out there. Like, who's the last young quarterback that came in as a rookie, started, and who's still sustained? I mean, I feel like it's, you know, because we can't. I mean, I'd love to be able to say it's CJ doesn't look like himself from 2 years ago. You know, I mean. He, in some ways, you could say
they make playoffs last year.
They did. D'Amico's
still 2 playoff seasons in his first 2 years.
No, I mean, it's,
you're right. He doesn't look like himself. We think, you know, you and I are agreeing though. That can be that there's some team issues there. That's part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there's now a book on CJ. I think that applies as well in terms of the way defenses are playing him.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, it's a great question if we have to go back to before those guys.
You know,
if we're saying they're not that.
You know, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, but even he's having a weird start to the season.
Well, it's always going to be ugly.
Yeah.
You can always pick it apart with him, but dude wins.
He's a
good one.
You know, Penix?
No.
I'm saying he's another example. Because he came in last year, and he actually looked pretty good at the end of the year.
Yeah, but that wasn't the season. I just don't know if he qualifies, but your point is made.
What about Purdy?
You wonder if the book's out on him now.
You know, I don't know.
But he got injured in that game. He looked bad.
Right.
A couple of throws he made, but he's playing hurt. So hard to judge. Right now, you'd say he's arrived. I wouldn't say he's regressed.
The best in the last 5 years, I think you have to say, would be, you know, drafted in the last 5 years, would be Jordan Love. Because he's the guy that came in, didn't have it immediately, but he came in, took the job, and still playing pretty well. Now, maybe you would argue that he's got the best setup. Like, he's got he's got an unbelievable defense, and, you know, I would say his offense ain't that great. I mean, who's his top weapon? I don't know. Tom, Dick, and Harry. I mean, they're all the same to me.
No, Matthew Golden will be.
Yeah. I don't know. It just kind of paints a picture that, you know, it's been tough for these, you know, in the last 5 years. I mean, it's like it's your Josh Allen's, it's just your Lamar's. You know, I guess Herbert has overcome that. You know, was he a 2020 guy? He probably would be number one then.
And he's still got to win something.
No, he does.
Jalen Hurts has won. I don't care about 300-yard games. I don't care about Josh Allen, all the stats and MVPs, if you're not winning Super Bowls. So he has to count in this. And particularly as a guy who has been able to add to his game. I mean, Jalen Hurts has had big games in the Super Bowl. Let's not act like this guy just goes out and throws for 100 yards every game. Yes, he did in this past game to beat the Chiefs. But let's act like this guy's some scrub. I mean,
right.
he's the one because he's been to 2 Super Bowls, mm-hmm. played well in both of them, mm-hmm. and won one. including a win over KC. What are we talking about?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're right.
You hit him, it just doesn't look like the other guys. Mm-hmm. 4,000 yards and those kinds of things.
Well, I mean, yeah, because the film is out there on Jalen Hurts, and he still is able to do what he does.
It's done.
You know?
Now, we like his setup, too.
Oh, yeah.
Barkley, Devontae, and A.J. I mean, that's a good setup. And their lines are awesome.
But, I mean, look, he's
a winner.
They all see the tush push play. They just can't stop it.
And he played big in the Super Bowl. It's not like that, you got by and your mm-hmm. defense won. No, he made plays, mm-hmm. and he does it in the moments. So he's absolutely, the answer to your question.
Yeah, 100%. So anyway,
constantly leveled up each year.
These young guys, man, they got to stay hungry and stay humble, because one good year in the NFL, it's a week to week league, and you never really truly arrive unless you really arrive. And I would say, for CJ, I mean, again, tough. He got the touchdown there late, right? He led him on that touchdown drive, although it was mostly just Chubb. And there's some people saying that the Bucs let them score. I don't know if that's true or not. Would make some sense given time and score. But, I would say he's definitely regressed in some way. Play calling sucked. That inside the five when they went for the fourth down, dude, I don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Run the ball, man. You're inside the 5-yard line in the NFL. Run the ball. 2-point conversion was a mess. I mean, all of it was a mess. The short yardage stuff with them. They got Nick Chubb, man.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't he supposed to be the, a short yardage king?
Is he still sane?
Golly.
That's part of the reason why I think the Bears passed on him. Everybody's questioning, him coming back from this latest one.
Yeah. How he can't be that old, can he?
No, he's still young, but hadn't he had yeah. two season-ending injuries?
He's 29. He's up there for a running back.
And more like 32 with the surgeries he's had.
Yeah, that's tough. But, man, I just don't understand how you can be an NFL team and you don't feel confident in your ability to gain 2 yards in 3 tries.
Best teams do it physically and with those lines.
That's exactly right. And if, the Eagles we know are getting it. I think most teams are going to be able to get 2 yards in 3 tries. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to run it, they run it once, then they throw it 3 straight times, just, or 2 straight times in that instance. Just kind of asinine. I don't think they deserve to win the game. And they did not win the game. The Bucs are feeling good. They're the 2-0, Chargers 2-0. And I believe that's the last doubleheader for Monday Night Football this year.
So I didn't see the news announced last night. So when I woke up and saw, I was already up, but when First Take came on at 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. Central Time here in Memphis, and Stephen A. Smith was starting it in a solemn voice. Like, what's going on? You about to talk about, the nation or something? You about to address something that's outside of sports? And it was the departure of Molly Karam. And like I said, this had been announced beforehand. So for many of you all that saw First Take this morning, probably wasn't a surprise at all. But for me, it was. Molly Karam typically opens up the show for the most part. Stephen A. does his little monologue, and then Molly takes it over from there. And she had been doing that for the last 10 years as a part, basically the host of First Take. She has stepped down. She announced it Monday night. Like I said, I missed her announcement, but it was jarring this morning on the show. She was reportedly offered a new contract by ESPN, but she opted to move on. She's been with ESPN since 2006, so she goes way back in terms of her time there. What's that, 19 years, almost 20 years, but has been the host of First Take for the last 10. And here was her quote. After much reflection, I've decided it's time to close this incredible chapter and step away from First Take. Hosting this show has been one of the greatest honors of my career. Every morning I have the privilege of sharing the desk with some of the most brilliant, passionate, and entertaining voices in sports and with all of you, the best fans in the world. Says she's grateful for the journey. Like I said, Stephen A. came on sort of like there had been a death in the family.
Yeah.
Really solemn voice and everything else. And clearly those two have had and will still have, you'd imagine, a close relationship. So I get it. But what was crazy is that right after he stopped and said, hey, normally Molly would come on right here, and she announced last night she's leaving, and we love her contributions. Dude, they as soon as he finished with that part, all right, NFL last night and everything else, they kind of just moved on. They just, the excitement level went back up. It was almost like, hey, let's give this 2 minutes. And we're going to do it solemnly because we're going to miss her. And then we're going to show that we don't miss her. And we're going to jack it back up, the energy level. And that's kind of how it came off. And so it was really weird, really clunky. But again, I guess Molly determined that she She'll be done at ESPN at the end of the year, but I guess she determined she wasn't going to go on with the show, or at least that contract runs out.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a little bit of a clunky new start without her, but clearly they showed they'll be moving on.
Yeah, I think this is where it always ends up going, right? I mean, one person thinks that their value to the product is X, Y, Z. The product offerer thinks, you're a replaceable part of the. And I would say that I would side more with ESPN in this one than Molly. I mean, you should always try to get what you can get, but nobody tunes in to First Take for Molly. I mean, that's just about, and I think they kind of recognize that the show is Stephen A. You know, now Stephen A. loves to do this, right? He loves to do this. He loves to say he got X, Y, and Z on the network. He has this much clout. He has this much influence on the network. So, if Stephen A. really wanted Molly to be on this show, and he couldn't live without Molly on this show,
I can make it happen.
Molly would still be on the show.
Fair point.
You know, so I think, you know, from Stephen A.'s standpoint, even he was like, I'm not going to go to bat.
Maybe that relationship afterwards won't be as good as I thought it would.
I mean,
that's a fair point you bring up. I hadn't gone down that road with it, but
if Stephen A. had wields the influence that he claims to wield, and I think there's no reason
claim to.
Right? No, I mean he does.
Even when they pay him,
right?
He absolutely does.
He's the highest paid guy at ESPN.
That's their most watched show,
and it's the most watched show. So if Stephen A. felt that Molly was a productive part of it, and there was a contract dispute, and they weren't close, Stephen A. could have got involved and say, "Hey, you got to pay Molly."
Or maybe he just got to a point where he said, "What you're asking for is wild enough.
Maybe
like,
so.
I think you're of great value. Here's where I think that value is." And
no,
maybe
I mean,
she, maybe you know. But I mean, to your point,
the bottom line is that Stephen A. decided it was
he could have stepped in at any point. Yes. There's no question about it.
Maybe he
and
did,
said, y'all,
and,
y'all
know,
get this done, and didn't. But maybe he thought, even.
He clearly.
Not stepping in.
This is as much a Stephen A. sort of allowance than it is an
ESPN
100%. Decision.
I mean, it's his show, dude.
Yeah, so it's just, I think that's the part of it where, him coming on and talking about how solemn it is. Like, bro, you know damn well you could have put the ixnay on this if you really cared enough to do so. And I think, again, I'm not saying that in a negative way. Like, I don't think the show will be any, like, they'll bring in another woman and it'll be the same show.
I mean, they've had plenty of other hosts come in when Molly is out all the time that from there. I think McNutt's done it. A couple of their others have done it. I'm sure that's probably the route they'll go.
Yeah. Whoever it is. I mean, Molly.
My guess after 10 years, she was making quite a bit too.
I'm sure she was. I'm sure ESPN's like, hey, we.
For their best show.
You do one thing, you do it, for 2 hours a day, and that's your job. It's not going to kill us. It's no hair off our ass if you end up leaving and getting paid from somewhere else. Like, we ain't.
Was she at NFL Network before? Is that, do we, or no? Because it is 06. That's going back so far.
Yeah.
I didn't realize she'd been in ESPN that long. Maybe she hadn't been anywhere. Maybe I'm making that up.
She had to be somewhere.
Right, to come on in at 06 and blow up the way she did.
She was she began as an anchor and reporter for CBS Sports Network.
Okay, so yeah,
and then she joined ESPN too as part of College Football Live. And
did
then
not know that.
Kind of worked her way up.
Did not know she went to college football route for.
And again, like I don't say that like to be negative on Molly Caron, but it's just like, did I ever find myself wondering, like, man, I really wonder what Molly Caron thinks about this topic. Like, no, I don't. Not because she's a woman, just because I don't seek Molly Caron's opinion. Like, that's just not how she was. That's not how she was presented. It's not sort of her. It wasn't her brand. And so ultimately, that makes you dispensable.
So neither Stephen A. Smith or John Martin going to miss Molly Caron from First Take.
But only one of us. Hold on. Only one of us is going to act like we are. Right?
For 2 minutes. To start
gonna,
the show,
gonna,
he did.
We're gonna start. Because you know why?
Oh, man, if you heard it, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. Dude, the way they jacked it back up afterwards, it was to show.
Right.
The show goes on.
Because,
I mean, that's and they were doubling down on it.
And the reason why I know this, bro, is because I lived this. When Jeff Calkins was getting his radio show at this station, he demanded that I be his producer. And if it wasn't going to be me, he wasn't. Just ask him. He wasn't going to do it.
I mean, you guys have told the story.
He wasn't going to do it. And so 92.9 was like, hey, you know, we want Jeff to do a radio show. We don't know this guy, John Martin. We'll do it. We'll you know. So that's the point, is like when somebody has the value that you're trying to, you know, present and put on, and they ask for something, you're going to be obligated to give it to them if that's what you seek. And I think in this case, Stephen A, and Molly knows this. I mean, she knows that Stephen A probably didn't go to bat for her, that he didn't care that much, you know? Like, it just wasn't on his it just wasn't. He'll go get Cam Newton on if he wants Cam Newton on. I mean, that's his show. It's his fingerprints, man. So we'll see. I mean, you know, where do you even go when you leave ESPN? You go to, like,
NFL Network.
But that's ESPN now.
Is it?
Yeah, that's all. Part.
Oh.
It's all under the umbrella now. Remember, they bought it.
Yeah, that was not something I'd filed away. No, they're not,
I guess you could, there. You know what? You could go to, like, Amazon, or you go to, like, you know, Peacock or something like that. Studio something. She'll get an opportunity. She knows that. She's only 41.
So. She was offered a contract, so I don't think she's hurting.
Yeah, it's just she didn't necessarily like it. But anyway, best of luck to Molly Karam. All right, the NFL was listening, and they want you to know one thing, that Tom Brady did not violate any rules last night by wearing a headset in the coaching booth.
They had to address it.
The NFL did address it, and they said Tuesday in a statement that Tom Brady, who's a minority owner with the Raiders and a broadcast for Fox, is prohibited from going to a team facility for practices or production meetings, but he is allowed to sit in the coach's booth. There are no policies that prohibit an owner from sitting in the coach's booth and wearing a headset during a game, NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy said in the statement. Brady was sitting in the booth in his capacity as a limited partner. All personnel sitting in the booth must abide by policies that prohibit the use of electronic devices other than the league-issued equipment, such as the Microsoft Surface tablet for the sideline viewing system. Now, nice reminder, he made his Fox debut last year, 10 years, $375 million contract. Unbelievable. Limitations were then put on him because he became a minority owner of the Raiders, which, again, was approved by league owners last October. So we talked about it in the beginning. When you're a broadcaster, you get access to teams, coaches, players, you know, all kinds of things that, you know, other people do not. It's very unique. And the NFL did recently relax some of their restrictions for him in that role, including allowing him to take part in those production meetings, which is when the broadcast crew meets with the game's head coaches and key players. But he has to do that remotely. So maybe that does help the, you know, the predisposal to be, you know, to just gush. Oh, my God, Tom Brady. You know, you're on Zoom. It ain't quite the same. McCarthy said Tom continues to be prohibited from going to team facility for practice or production meetings. He may attend them remotely but cannot attend in person at the team facility or hotel. He may also conduct an interview off-site with the player like he did last year a couple times, including for the Super Bowl. Of course, as with any production meeting with broadcast teams, it's up to the club, coach, or players to determine what they say in those sessions. So, you know, obviously Tom is far more involved than any other minority owner.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no other minority owner would be able to sit in the box like that. They would say, come
on.
Can't
think of any other situation.
Come on. You're 5%. You're not. I think that's all Brady's got. He's only got 5%. But his influence is much greater than 5%. I mean, he's running it. He's basically running it. He hired, like, Spy Tech from Tampa Bay, the GM that he worked with when he was in Tampa there in 2020.
Everybody acts like he's the one that passed on Shadur 5 times.
Yeah.
Not your front office.
I mean, I think Tom Brady's calling a lot of shots with the Raiders, you know, collaboratively, but I think his voice is in that room, and it's heard, and it's listened to, and it's weighed. So, you know, again, the NFL is basically telling you, we're not touching this. We've ruled on it. We've decided this is what can happen. This is what can't happen. And it's going to continue to be uncomfortable for all the other teams that are going to have to definitely be very mindful of what they say. But the NFL is not coming to the rescue for the other 31 teams in the NFL with Brady.
Brian Kelly did the right thing. Even if you were feeling Brian Kelly after LSU's win over Florida, and he was asked right off the top about their lack of success offensively and snapped. He did. I still think the way to go here, and he did it, whether he was forced to by his athletic director, whether he wanted to personally and sort of, you know, correct a wrong – He did apologize for going off the tirade, snapping, whatever you want to call it, at the reporter after that win. Said, I've texted with the reporter and offered my apology to him for the way I handled the questioning. I think it's important to understand that, you know, my standards relative to how we work with the media on a day-to-day basis need to be higher. And I take responsibility for that, and I'll be better in the future. That's all that needs to be said. I tell you what, though, you know, maybe there is some, you know, a little bit of something to be built up in terms of, you know, that tirade. You had a lot of people, even in the media business, taking Brian Kelly's side and saying, after a win, there is a sort of more professional way you phrase the question. The way we said it here was clearly that reporter seemed like he went into that interaction combatively.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably have that sort of relationship already, him and Brian Kelly.
Yep.
But the reporter knew what he was doing. We asked questions. And we agreed. I mean, you're coming off a win over LSU. Maybe one of the ways you go, hey, you get, yeah, hey, it was ugly, but you got the win.
Yep.
That's one way you can come at that as opposed to saying, well, basically, you guys had no run game. What's going on? And they're coming off of, again, a victory. This team's undefeated at this point. So the thing was, a lot of media people sided with Brian Kelly. I still think smart move by him.
Mm-hmm.
And those folks, even smarter for those folks that sided with the reporter in that, hey, man, he went on and took the high road. Now, Brian Kelly's a hot ahead. He's going to do this again.
Yep.
We've seen him come out and have to apologize before for interactions, getting hot and everything else. This isn't going to be the last time. I highly doubt it. But I do think it's the way to go. And I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting it out there. I would not be surprised if we saw something similar from Ryan about the Georgia comment at some point.
Yeah.
In the next 24 hours.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Because it's gone. Once On3 takes it. You're like, oh, I'm Ryan right now. Oh, man, I just meant that to be an off-the-cuff comment. And, yeah, I was really just talking about our program. And, I respect Kirby and what they've done and everything. That's what it's going to be like.
Yep.
You're going to be, it's like, and now On3's picked it up and it went a place I didn't want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
When those things happen, what are parents teach you? You got to go clean up your mess. And so I'm just saying I would not be surprised. Frankly, it's probably called for because it was an inappropriate comment. It just was.
Right.
You don't have to tear somebody else down to make yourself look good. There's other ways to do that. You can generalize that.
Agreed.
Without pointing to Georgia's off-the-field issues, particularly, again, this is a punch-up situation. It's not a good look. Wouldn't be surprised if we see it. In fact, I'd say it's called for.
Yeah, I mean, I think,
since it's been picked up nationally.
It's going to be asked. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I think we're all in favor of, you know, you return fire, for sure. Like, if you get caught out or whatever, and, you know, but, like, just sending strays, that's not where you want to be. It's just not. You know, you don't want to be that coach. You don't want to be that program. It's just like sending strays for no reason. You know, I mean, I think you let the other programs do that. And even if that is your thing, right, like maybe it is. And maybe it's a good thing for your team. Every week, you know, you have this little exercise where you talk about, hey, here's what we don't do. In private, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lesson. That's a
right.
But to take that public was a misstep.
It was a choice.
You know, it was.
I would say poor choice.
It was. Now, again, it's weird because you're Georgia's just not in the same universe. That's the weird part. It just doesn't even make it's like it's,
maybe that's why he felt it's okay because it's almost right. Like a different universe.
Yeah, like it feels like they're playing a different sport,
bro. It could align. You could see them in a freaking college football playoff. Not that you're even considering it, but it could.
Let's hope
they're not so far out.
Let's hope not.
You know, you could be in the same college football playoff as them. Maybe not you lined could. Up, but you could be in the same CFP.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Back to Brian Kelly. This could come back on him in the same way we're discussing with Ryan. Brian's got to win something at LSU. He can't keep being this dude that acts like his stuff don't stink and he's won all these national championships when all he's frankly done, he left Notre Dame saying, I can't take it any higher. Marcus Freeman comes in and does it. And he's at a place now at LSU where the previous two coaches won national championships.
Yep.
And everybody said, well, hey, I'm going to the SEC. Now I can get the players I need to go win it. And so Brian can't keep this up, this act either. I mean, Cincinnati type, you know, you take them to a certain level, those things have gotten better since he left in some of those instances. And it did at Notre Dame. And so I go back to him. We're not just, you know, I'm not just going to criticize Ryan Silverfield, say, hey, poor move, inappropriate move to criticize Georgia in that way publicly. when Brian Kelly at some point, this is going to get old. Yeah, right move to apologize, but you can't keep playing this. My stuff don't stink. Mm-hmm. I'm a national championship level coach when you haven't done it yet, and particularly at a place where the last two coaches did.
Absolutely.
So he better start winning soon if he's going to keep up this act. Yep. I mean winning national championships.
No doubt about it. I mean, that is the high barrier.
It's going to look real bad.
Yes.
You know, it already does most of the time.
Yes, absolutely. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Drew Hill's going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies. He just got back from Italy, so we'll talk to him about that trip. I know he's maybe going to be out there at the Memphis game this weekend, so all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
FM, ESPN. Jeff Calkins has a column up at DailyMemphian.com where he speaks to something that, a fundamental philosophical change that is happening throughout college sports that, you know, it does impact the University of Memphis. It's kind of impacted the University of Memphis for quite some time, but it does feel like it will become more pronounced in the coming years. But basically, he talks about Memphis in the old days. How often and how frequently Memphis would play teams from the SEC. Obviously got the Arkansas game coming up this weekend. But there was a time, as he points out, where, you know, in 1976, Memphis played Auburn, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Ole Miss. All in Memphis. All at the Liberty Bowl. In 82, Ole Miss, Vandy, Mississippi State, Georgia, and Tennessee. Five SEC teams that year. 88, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Missouri, Florida, Tennessee, Vandy. 1991, you had Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Alabama. Obviously, you know, 96, they beat Tennessee. In the 26 years from 1974 to 1999, Memphis played 95 games against current SEC teams. That's on average 4 a year. Okay, you played 12 games. That's 33% of your schedule. And then one day, the music died. Because from 2012 to 2024, Memphis has played just 9 games against the SEC. And in the last 9 years, Memphis has played just 2 SEC teams at home. That was Ole Miss in 2019 when they won, and that was in 2021 against Mississippi State when they won. Are we sensing a pattern here? You win, you don't get the games.
Right.
And that's sort of where we are. It's where we are. Now, this column was really interesting because I did not realize how even the playing field once was. Even as Memphis was not in a power league, in the olden day. But in 2004, according to USA Today, Calkins points this out. The Memphis Athletic Department had $24 million in revenues. Ole Miss only had $28 million. So, that's a clerical error, right, in the grand scheme of things. But in the 18 years since, the gap had basically doubled, more than doubled. Memphis had $62 million in revenues in 2022. Ole Miss had $133 million. Arkansas and Tennessee, $152 million and $154 million in revenue. So it has just exploded. It is just an exponential growth in terms of revenue for these SEC teams. And Memphis, on the other hand, you know, nothing to sneeze at, nearly a 3X increase over the last 18 years. But it's hard to compete when it's 6X for everybody else, 7X for everybody else. And so the gap keeps getting wider, and you were unable to even get these games anymore. And Jeff kind of points out that, you know, this might be the last one. This might be with the SEC's new schedule format where they only allow two out of conference games, right? I mean, this could be the last home game that Memphis plays against the SEC on Saturday. It could be for the foreseeable future.
It's nine conference and then one power non-conference.
They're required, so that
takes up 10.
Right.
Right.
So only you
still
two.
Do two non. Right. You but you still got three non-con game. But
yeah, but one is taken off the table.
They're locking you up.
There's a home and home in Mississippi State in 28-29, but that's so far away. You know, it's hard to believe that, you know, it would happen here.
You said the key. I mean, Jeff points out that from what was it 70. Is it 74 that he uses? No. It's 1970. Yeah, 4 to 99.
1974!
I'm pointing something here. You said they played 95 games against the SEC team.
95.
You know what he left?
74 to 99.
What he leaves out as a record. How many of those games you won? You said the key.
You didn't win any of those games.
Memphis is not winning in those years.
Not
and those SEC teams that were willing. Dude, I don't think they had more than a 7-win season. From that time. Those were not bowl years, bro. You didn't get back to the bowl till 2003. Okay? It had been since 71, Billy Murphy, Pasadena Bowl. So those are incredibly lean years that the SEC was coming up in here and playing you 95 times overall and willing to come to Memphis. I mean, I'm looking at it. I don't think there was a more than a 7-win season in that stretch. And so, of course, they're willing to do that back then. They have SEC fans here in Memphis. In many of those games, I'm sure there was in some cases, more of them than there were of you because of how unsuccessful the Memphis program was at the time. Many things have changed. Yes, Memphis has gotten better, but also so have the stipulations on who we're playing, if you're SEC, and everything else. The balance of power has shifted in favor of those guys. You were on, and the have-nots. Those guys not in the power structure and certainly not in the SEC, at different level. So that's the thing about this. This was always gradually happening. We've been saying it as it did. It's not just Memphis got better, you know, and they're not going to come play you. A lot of it's the politics now of college football, unfortunately. But I do agree with Jeff, and it's worth, again, lamenting that there's a good chance you won't see any of them in here anytime soon.
Right.
Other than, hey, maybe one of your coaches, becomes a head coach at SEC school, says I'll play him as one of my non-conference.
Right.
Like Norvell did, you know, at Florida State. Different conference, but that's the point.
Right.
That's the only way I see it happening, because otherwise, why would they schedule you? You're a threat to them now.
Mm-hmm.
And a threat to the, a loss to you ruins their chances, can certainly hurt your chances of college football playoff. So, yeah.
Well, it's just the existential questions, like what is in it for me. You know, like, for football, the answer, honestly, is nothing. Now, in basketball, there's something, because it could be a quad one win. Like, Memphis basketball for an SEC team can constitute a quad one victory, and it can help your resume. And, you know, it's always important to have a good resume. And the committee has said, we reward you for playing real schedules outside of your league. You don't have to go crazy, but don't disrespect the sport, right? Play some real games. Louisville's doing it. Louisville this year is like playing a ridiculous, like Dick Vitale was tweeting about it. You know, they don't have to, but they said, you know, hey, even though we get, you know, home and homes against Duke every year and North Carolina every year and whoever every year, we're going to go out and we're going to make sure that we let people know we want the smoke. If they handle it well, they're going to get a one seed for it. I mean, that's just the way it goes. In football, Georgia doesn't, they played Marshall. They played Austin Peay. You know,
well, and they can still make the college football playoff.
They could be the one seed
there. That's why.
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter because They're going to play. They already played at Tennessee and won. They're going to play Alabama. They're going to play at Auburn. They're going to play at Florida. They're going to play Ole Miss. I mean, they're going to play, you know, every single week. And in their other non-conference game they have this year, which is randomly at the end of the season, there's two. There's Charlotte at home, and then they play Georgia Tech at the end of the year, which is an in-state thing. So Georgia, you know, and I'm just using Georgia as an example, but like teams like Georgia, teams that are on that cusp in the SEC, no chance. No chance. A&M, no chance. Texas, no chance. Tennessee, no chance. Alabama, no chance. Florida, no chance. Memphis just cannot. They don't bring enough, and I hate to say this, but they don't bring enough to the table in the non-conference in football to justify the risk of a loss for an SEC team. And that's why these games are just not going to ever happen again. I mean, Boise State, you know, that makes sense because now you're kind of competing against each other, right? So let's just settle it on the field. Let's just settle on the field. Who gets the inside track to the college football playoff? Let's settle down as opposed to, you know, oh, now we're going to weigh this conference's strength of schedule, this conference's strength of schedule, blah, blah, blah. Let's meet on the field and let's determine it there. That makes total sense.
If I was Ed Scott, I'd be running to Boise State to try to get, multiple years cemented. This, keep in mind, you're selling this to ESPN as what's essentially a playoff game outside the playoff.
Yes.
Right? That's what you're doing. That's a big game for them. That's one that you might even get a game day in here for if it's the right time of year.
Yep.
So they can check off the box of, oh, we went to some of the other guys. But you want to do that before Tulane does, because it's the same thing Cal, we've talked about, did with Gonzaga and Mark Few back when they were on similar levels and needed a quality out-of-conference game in the middle of a bad conference schedule.
Yep.
That it makes so much sense. And Boise State, I think, would look at you in that way as you're with what you've built it up to. Can help yourself this year by showing them, hey, we're that team. Win the AAC, go to the college football playoff, and you can show Boise, hey, this is us.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Do it with us as opposed to doing it with Tulane. They may see you as the same thing. Hey, we'll play Tulane a couple years, play you. But I'd love to have that nailed down.
Yes.
Like Cal had Gonzaga. You could sell it. It would be big. ESPN would have it, you know, build highly. Maybe even, again, a game day possibility. It just makes too much sense. That's what you want to do is get your peers, your equals. And that's in a world where, yes, you're a group of five, but you have very few that are on your level.
Yep.
Boise.
Yep.
Well, I should say this. You're trying to get to their level. You should be because of the investment level, right? You're trying to get to their level from a conference championship standpoint.
Right. And they made the playoff last
year. It's them. It's Tulane. It's you.
Because you play all those teams.
Those are the teams. Yes. And obviously Tulane's in conference. Makes too much sense.
Yes.
And why wouldn't your fans get behind that? That's a playoff game.
I think they would, yeah.
That's a playoff game outside the CFP.
No doubt. Look, we already know that there's going to be, and I hate this, but we already know that there's going to be a push. You know, we heard it from Mac Brown last week. You know, there's this push to make sure you really focus on, you know, the teams that can help you or are quote unquote on your level, you know, and exclude a little bit of everybody else. You're not playing Memphis if you're a high tier SEC team because they can't help you. And I'm really not playing Memphis if I'm a Mississippi State. You know, I'm just using that as an example because you lose to Memphis and you might, you're going to get fired. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the stakes are that high for you.
It could be the case for Sam Pittman. It could be.
See,
let them come in here and get rolled.
Dude, Sam Pittman, I guarantee you, hates the fact that this game is being played. And he especially hates that he's got to come here. You know, I know he's getting two, maybe, we'll see. But, like, I'm sure he absolutely hates this idea. Because he knows that Memphis is good enough to beat them. And, you know, I'm not saying they will, but he knows that there's a universe where they play this game 10 times. Memphis can win 4 times or 3 times. You know, it's just like, why would I do it? Why would I do it if I'm a middle-tier SEC team, a lower-tier SEC? I get absolutely no benefit from it. I mean, I hate it because, you know, we're here in Memphis and we want good things. But the way that Memphis is going to get the shot is by winning their conference and making the playoff. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. For as long as there's that, you know, that fifth spot, you know, and Memphis is still part of a league that can get it consistently, then, I mean, that's going to be your best way. It's going to be your only way. I mean, if you were Mississippi State, would you play Memphis?
No.
Hell no. Man, don't call me, bro. I'm playing Murray State. I'm playing, Lemoyne Owen. I want to win 100-0. You know, I don't want anything to do with, you know, your 4-star recruits that you got coming in that maybe transferred from an SEC. I don't want nothing to do with that. You know, and it's just unfortunate that that's your place in the college. It's a football thing. It's not a basketball thing because basketball, you know, your ratings matter, your resume matters over the course of the season. And again, we've already been shown it matters when you take the non-conference seriously. Mm-hmm. College football don't give a damn about that. It does not. Like, I don't even know if they bring it up. I mean, I know that, you know, they're trying to strengthen it with power teams, but I think it really just. It really doesn't matter. It's all about your, you know, those nine, ten games you play in conference.
I think Memphis can be just fine so long as you get the right matchups. Boise State would be one I'm after for the long haul. Listen, if you're looking for other conferences, because now the SEC's got to play nine, do the one against Power Four, so that's 10 of their games they don't want to play you, why not go grab Louisville? Why not see? I mean, Louisville, who I think some are talking about is going to get dropped from somebody's SEC schedule, might be Georgia. I mean, not that you have – the same level of common interest as you and a Boise State,
mm-hmm.
but there's enough of Louisville ACC program, enough history there. I'm just saying targets. You know, I look at Louisville as opposed to some Big 12 team
mm-hmm.
that you have no history with or whatever else. But sure, for some folks, it might not be as sexy because you're not getting SEC teams in here. You don't get their fan base in here. But there's ways you can do this still be successful. We're not. You don't have to be, kowtow to the SEC. Oh man, you scaredy cats are running away from us. Like you need them at this point. You can make your college football playoff without them.
Yeah.
You just have to be smart in who you schedule.
I mean, wherever Dillingham is at, right? I mean, somebody like that, I would try to at least, you know,
Don't let him go to the SEC.
Because
it'll be over. But yes, to your point.
But like, look, if I'm Memphis, and again, I know these things get scheduled. Years and years and years and years and years out of it in advance. But if I could like know that these programs, go get a home and home with James Madison, bro.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.